Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
For anyone that didn't know about him already, Endrick introduced himself with a winner against England at Wembley on Saturday.
Goal! É do Brasil! Endrick!
So how good is Brazil's next big thing? And where will he fit in at Real Madrid when he moves there this summer? I'm Joaquin Molere. Welcome to the Athletic FC podcast. Here for this one, we have The Athletic's Brazilian football writer Jack Lang, Nick Miller, who conducted Endrick's first interview with UK media, as well as our Spanish junior editor, Thomas Hill Lopez Manchero. Right, Jack, let's go. Let's start with you. You were there on Saturday. What did it feel like? Endricky, as the Brazilian commentators like to call him. What was he like? The anticipation of him coming on the pitch.
Yeah, I think we need to set a standard first. Are we going to go for the full Endricky or are we going to... I think I'll just keep it Endrick for now. I was there. There was some excitement. I mean, it was... I think these things are contextual, right? If it had been a thrilling match and he'd come on, I don't think it would have been quite the same. But it was really... drab as anything. So when he stepped off the bench, just walking over to the sideline, having taken his tracksuit off, there was like a kind of a palpable kind of ripple of anticipation. And I think that's kind of partly to do with his talent, partly to do with the fact that we haven't seen him over here, his first game in Europe. And it wasn't an amazing cameo in terms of doing loads of things, but obviously scored. The very nature of the game, the fact nothing else happened, made him the story, really. And so I was planning to write on something else. I was planning to write on Lucas Paquetá. But, you know, when a 17-year-old Brazilian wonder kid scores a late goal at Wembley, you go with that.
Yeah, Nick, you know, fourth youngest Brazilian scorer of all time since R9, Ronaldo, obviously, in 1994. Youngest ever men's goal scorer in an international at Wembley. It's fair to say the anticipation for what could be for Endrick is really fascinating. Because if you think about R9, who's really been there that's really shone? I mean, we talk about Wagner Love, Adriano Pato, of course, Fred, Jesus, Richarlison at this moment in time. But you feel like Brazil's calling for a proper number nine at this moment in time, don't you?
Yeah, and I mean, one or two of the names you kind of mentioned in there, maybe Pato, something like that, there's a sort of cautionary tale in there, which I'm sure we'll kind of get to later on, where there are many, many examples of Brazilian wonder kids who everyone has assumed will be the next great thing and who have either, you know, some of them have gone on to have perfectly respectable careers without being the next Romario or Ronaldo or whatever, but some of them have just sort of sunk without trace even at this kind of stage of their career. So it does feel weird that he's still only 17, because we've kind of been aware of him for a couple of years, and then you kind of remember, well, that was because he was 15 when people certainly outside of Brazil started to hear about him. On a personal level, and this, I think we can all agree, this is the most important thing. Him scoring, him signing for Real Madrid and scoring the other night is makes me look slightly less ridiculous, given that I wrote about him when he was 15 2 years ago.
Yeah, there was a sense of inevitability, though, Jack, don't you think, of him coming on and scoring? We talk about this sort of messiah complex that we put on footballers. I remember his first game for Palmeiras. I think he scored a bundling first goal again, and very similar to his first goal for Brazil, sort of bundled it in again. But he seems to be there at the right time in these situations.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll come on to his kind of skill set in a while. But yeah, I think it's a nice introduction to kind of, you know, knock a ball into an empty net. There was already enough hype without him scoring an overhead kick or a back heel. You know, those moments will come. I think you're always tempted to kind of impute inevitability after the fact, aren't you? He had, you know, previously made two sub appearances for Brazil in South America, but obviously there was talk in the lead up to how he he could have gone to Chelsea. So there was already this kind of English football angle to it. And obviously there is history between England and Brazil and very famous moments that we'll all cling to forever. And that was just another of them. He said afterwards, actually, he referenced Bobby Charlton in his kind of post-match interview, which, I mean, this is another factor of Endrick, which again, we'll talk about this, there's a PR savviness to him. And that without wanting to be cruel or cynical, that did seem to me a bit of a stretch that Bobby Charlton would be his first reference point. But again, someone who is clearly aware of his image in England already, despite only having played, 19 minutes of football here.
Yeah. Did it mark this sort of, I guess, new era of Brazilian football under a new coach as well? Do you think that was a bit of a marker as to where we might see this Brazil team go?
Yeah, to some degree. I think, I mean, Brazil, this is a whole other podcast, but Brazil have been a complete kind of dumpster fire of a team since the World Cup. It's been horrendous. And Dorival Júnior isn't a massively world-renowned manager. He'd probably be able to walk down every street in Europe without anyone stopping to get his autograph. But shaping something new, obviously there are a lot of players injured, so that helped with the feeling of renovation. And obviously in Endrick, you've got someone who is, I think a lot of Brazilians have identified him from an early age as not just the next superstar in Europe, but someone who can lend a bit of conviction to the number nine shirt, hopefully, after, you mentioned some of the names. I could mention many more that are worse than the ones you've said, like from the good, Luis Fabiano is probably the closest Brazil have come to a top line striker since Ronaldo. And then you've got a load of other players that some people won't even remember. So to have someone like that waiting in the wings, I think, he is a symbol of kind of renewed hope, I suppose.
Yeah, Thomas, let's go over to you for the sort of, I guess, the start of our conversations around him at Real Madrid. There were stars there, Brazilian stars, and Jude Bellingham and Rodrigo Vinicius as well. Sort of, you could see there was a bit of a camaraderie. They're all congratulating him and all that kind of stuff. An exciting time for that young man, what he's looking to do in Europe. And this is obviously, as we mentioned, his first appearance in Europe as well.
Yeah, I think Madrid fans are really excited to see him. Obviously, there's the kind of unusual factor that many of them won't have seen him play full matches. I mean, to my mind, I think most Madrid fans will have seen him through highlights reels, clips on Twitter. Obviously, the other day, we had this moment of, I think, the Madrid media kind of fixated on Bellingham playfully slapping Endrick after the game, which seems to be a good sign. Hopefully that's a sign of friendship rather than anything else. But yeah, there's this really exciting young core of players at Madrid. As we know, Vinicius, Rodrigo, Bellingham, now Endrick. I guess the thing is that there's been so much excitement about Kylian Mbappe's expected arrival that Endrick's kind of taken a sort of backseat almost since the deal was announced in December 2022. And the only question is how you get the best out of all of those young players. Carlo Ancelotti's been trusted with that, with a contract until 2026. But yeah, seems hard to think that all these players are going to fit into the same team.
You're listening to the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I want to just take this opportunity to just to break him down as a player, because Jack, Nick, I know you've interviewed him and you've seen him play. I always have this sort of look on Brazilian football, just because I used to spend some time out there, and Flamengo were my team actually, because I used to live out there as well in Rio, and they played Palmeiras played Flamengo, I think in the Supercopa, I think it was last year, and I remember watching him versus David Luiz, well, a very aged David Luiz, but his hustle's really interesting. Like the way he comes at players, the way he constantly attacks defenders, the way he constantly attacks goalkeepers just unnerves them. You could just see that in that Supercopa. I don't know if he scored in that match, but fundamentally, how do we break down his game, and how special is this young lad? Because as we've said before, Brazil aren't akin, you know, they're not shy of some stars coming out of that country.
Yeah, I mean, explosive is the word that comes to mind. I mean, he's compared to, you know, Vinicius, Rodrigo, Neymar, they are kind of one category of player, I think, kind of lithe, light on their feet. Endrick, he is fast, but I don't think, you know, he's not someone who's going to necessarily outstrip defenders over long distances, but he is really quick off the mark. He's kind of got this stockiness to him, accentuated by the fact he tucks his shirt into his shorts, like really old school style. But he's kind of, he's muscly, he's kind of chunky. It's hard to find a direct comparison, I think, in Brazilian football, as far as I can see. He's kind of, he's skillful, but not someone who will necessarily bring out tricks all the time. He can be quite direct. He's very powerful shot on him, but often kind of unleashes a shot quickly. I was thinking about this earlier, and the closest that I can think of is someone like Sergio Aguero, kind of low in stature, that just ability to conjure something from nothing in a very powerful way. But it'll be interesting to see how he develops. Like, he has played out wide for Palmeiras sometimes. Don't think it suits him a great deal. I think he is going to hopefully be a, you know, an out and out striker. But yeah, those are the kind of things that I've picked up so far.
Yeah, one of the interesting things that I found when I interviewed him, and this was a couple of years ago, it was that when I sort of asked him to describe his game, I think the first thing he sort of emphasized was his work rate. He didn't kind of talk about his skill or finishing or anything like that, which was, you know, he's kind of, as Jack said, is obvious for anyone who's watched him, but he wanted to really emphasize his work rate and the kind of more unglamorous side of being kind of a Brazilian striker. And as we've kind of mentioned, as I think Jack has mentioned earlier on, there is a strong element of PR to him, and he's obviously being advised quite carefully about everything he said, and you kind of did wonder how much of that his kind of advisors had a word with him before and said, like, okay, you want to emphasize that you're a team player here, or whether that's just his kind of natural character, that he just naturally said, well, you know, these are my skill sets, I'm not as kind of particularly flashy or player like that. He wanted to emphasize the kind of the basics, I suppose, of his game.
Yeah, I think Madrid clearly saw him as he's clearly been a Junior Califat led signing. That's Madrid's chief scout, you know, who's Spanish Brazilian, who's played a key role in these signings, like Rodrigo, like Vinicius Junior. I think he's seen as another one off the conveyor belt in that sense, and hopefully more in that mold rather than Renier, the Brazilian midfielder who they signed and who's been on three separate loan spells out and hasn't made a senior appearance for Madrid. But clearly, I guess Endrick offers something that they don't see in the European market, which is really interesting. And it will be interesting to see how he fits in at Madrid.
Yeah, just give us a breakdown, Thomas, of how that deal came about, especially as Real Madrid weren't able to sign him till a particular period as well.
Yeah, I think it was a kind of sustained charm offensive. We know that Ancelotti, Ronaldo Nazario, these figures played a key role in that and kind of managed to swing the balance, even if I think Xavi did actually call him, as he said in an interview during the World Cup. As I say, he's another one of these South Americans they've signed with to such success. And there was lots of buzz when he visited Madrid in December, this December just gone, visited the Bernabeu. But this Tuesday, against Spain, playing for Brazil, will be a totally different thing. That will be the moment when we see him for the first time playing on the Bernabeu pitch, and I think a lot of Madrid fans will be really excited to see what he can offer.
Just going back to the kind of PR element and how he was marketed. He, just before I interviewed him, he went on a little kind of mini tour of Europe. When he went to a couple of games, he went to, I think it was Barcelona against Napoli. And then, as if to emphasize his age, the next game he went to PSG against Real Madrid. And the day after that, he went to Euro Disney with his family, which...
He's still a kid, isn't he? Like, you forget.
Yeah, which is kind of... I mean, we did have... I was kind of off the chance to interview him when he was that young, and we did have quite a lengthy conversation about whether we should talk to him. He's technically still is a child. Is it really the right thing to do to interview a 15-year-old about who at that point hadn't? I don't think he'd even signed a senior contract for Palmeiras. Never mind played a senior game. I think he could only do that when he was 16. So we did decided to talk to him because he was clearly a great talent. I think he'd been on the cover of Marca 3 times by that point, which is, you know, as Thomas will know better than us, the Madrid media tends to go absolutely tonto whenever there is the faint whiff of a talented player possibly signing for Real Madrid. But yeah, at the time, the sort of noises that they were making was that it would be a kind of, don't think he's going to be agreeing a transfer anytime soon. We're going to take our time with this one. He's going to just got to get some games for Palmeiras first. But that kind of went out the window as possibly as soon as the sort of figures that ended up being involved in the transfer started getting banded around. Mm.
It's worth saying this is very much now the Real Madrid playbook, right? They kind of... We've written in the past how they felt burnt by what happened with Neymar. Neymar's an interesting one because Neymar played, 200 plus games for Santos. They were able to secure him over a longer period through kind of creative accounting and kind of bent over backwards to keep him there for that long. And now we've seen in the case of like Vinicius, Rodrigo, Heinier, as Tom mentioned, they all leave after generally 50 games. And it will be about that number for Endrick when he goes. You can question why that is. One is that the earlier you do it, you can't be usurped by other clubs, right? So if you get the deal done when the guy is 16, you're not hanging around to wait to be overtaken at the last. But I think there's also a kind of pedagogical aspect to it, and that these big clubs now think that it's all very well having first team football in Brazil, but these guys, there's only a certain amount they can learn after 50 games because Brazilian football, it's got a lot of positive factors, but the quality isn't necessarily there. And so instead of waiting till they're 20, they bring them in early. They maybe give them a bit of time in the B team. Vinicius played for Real Madrid Castilla for a while. But they're getting the high quality training and input from that very early age. And they do that in-house now rather than 15 years ago. They might have waited for Porto to sign these kids and then kind of reduce the risk factor and buy them a couple of years later when they're accustomed to European football. I think now that's shifted towards, I would rather actually have them at our training ground with our coach's words in his ears. And that is seen as more valuable than 2 years in Portugal, in France, maybe.
That brings me nicely on to sort of how he fits into this Madrid squad, Thomas. Look, Kylian Mbappe, as we said, massive, massive headline. And you're looking at another attacking player coming from Brazil who's supposed to be the big, big Brazilian star. How on earth does this young man fit into this squad? You know, as Jack just pointed out, the other two were sort of filtered in. Rodrigo and Vinicius over time were filtered into the squad. But for the money they've paid for him, you'd expect him to be making a decent impact in this Madrid squad as well.
Yeah, all we've heard so far from Carlo Ancelotti is that Endrick is going to be part of the first team squad, but as you say, it's hard to see a place for him. I think it's worth noting that Vinicius and Rodrigo's paths to the first team weren't always linear. In fact, haven't always been linear. So Vinicius had a couple of seasons where, you know, he was maybe scoring 5-6 goals a season, but you know, his shooting was pretty off. He wasn't kind of clinical in front of goal like we see him now, and he's become this really complete player, which I think is kind of what Jack touched on as well, the thing of Madrid wanting to bring these players in and sort of train them in their way. Rodrigo kind of similarly, he has this great Champions League debut, and he's had some amazing moments obviously against City in the Champions League, but now he's kind of gone off the boil a bit as well. I was listening to Spanish radio this morning talking about his his charisma maybe lacking a bit of that, which is, you know, goes to show another key thing, at least from the Madrid press kind of view. So I think Endrick will be allowed time. I don't think he'll be an automatic starter. Madrid don't really have an out-and-out number nine apart from Joselu, who we've reported this week is, you know, the expectation is more and more that he's going to stay. So that's Joselu and, you know, the expected arrival of Mbappe as well ahead of him. So I don't think even he would expect to be starting immediately. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. If we look at Vitor Roque at Barca, you know, that's kind of Barca emulating Madrid a bit in that signing a young Brazilian star. And he's struggled a bit since they brought forward that move in January. So I think it could definitely benefit him to have a bit of time on the bench, learn from the likes of Mbappe, Vinicius, and somehow try and plot a way into that team.
Yeah, this is a really fascinating one because it's also, I think, about the psychology of players. And from what I'm hearing from what you've written about him, Nick, is that this is a really level-headed young man who sort of has a sense of his destiny, you know, his preordained destiny, I should say. But also, you know, in comes a superstar from Brazil. Everyone loves him. He's the number one. Everyone's shining the light on him. Comes to Real Madrid, probably doesn't get to play as much football. What do you reckon that will do for a player like him? Has he got the personality to be able to deal with those hardships?
Yeah, I mean, again, you keep going back to his youth, and it's just quite difficult to properly assess what kind of character he is, given that he is so young. But again, when I spoke to him, it was that you did get the sense that he was, well, certainly more sensible than I would have been if someone paid a lot of money for me when I was 15. Just sort of reading back the interview after I'd done it, you were kind of going through the questions and going, yeah, that's exactly what you expect someone, or exactly what someone should have said to that question. There were, you know, a couple of slightly unexpected things, like, as I said, the emphasis on his work rate, but everything was very kind of measured and very considered. An element of that will almost certainly be, you know, training and advice that he's got, but it's also impossible to kind of completely train a kid like that. So I think it is pretty clear that he is very level-headed, very sensible. Even though he has got this kind of massive move at a very early age, it's logical as well that there, if you are going to move to a big European club, you move to the big European club that have made successes of similar players to you. Some, you know, the players that you've talked about, young Brazilian players who have come over at maybe slightly older than him, but of similar ages. So it's not just that he's going, oh, Real Madrid is the shiniest club in the world. It's that there's a degree of thought behind it as well.
Just to go back to the kind of emotional side of things, I think there does need to be an element of caution, of care, not just for his age, but because of the personality he is. So about a year ago, so 2022 was this breakout year, kind of shone in this youth tournament at the start of the year, promoted to Palmeiras first team, kind of chips in with a few goals as they won the title. All great. 2023 starts and he's in and out of the team. So his coach at Palmeiras, Abel Ferreira, is a kind of no-nonsense Portuguese guy, kind of not necessarily an arm-around-the-shoulder figure. He can be quite hard-lined, and he is not the kind of person who would put someone in the team just for the sake of it. So he, you know, he was putting Endrick in and out of the team. And at one point, this seemed to get to Endrick a bit. He was kind of subbed off in a game. He was photographed crying. He kind of pulled his shirt over his head to cover it, but he was crying under the shirt. And so there was a kind of a little bit of a moment of concern there for how this kid was dealing with all the hype around him. He seemed to bounce back from that pretty well. He's very well advised, we're told, and seems to have a gun. His family unit is very close, so he has got a support network. But at that point, it was clear how much pressure there is on a 17-year-old kid once they've signed for Real Madrid. And now, since that, he kind of really shone in the second half of last year, particularly in the title running in Brazil, where he played a really critical part. But I think if we look at him on a spectrum of personalities, so you've got on one side maybe Neymar and Vinicius Junior, who have kind of just got this, I would say in a good way, this kind of brattiness to them they had when they were 17, 18. They were just completely certain of their own value. They played like it too. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got maybe Rodrigo, who's a bit quieter. you know, I think the fact that he was less hyped is a factor of that personality. He's not as marketable, Rodrigo. He's, you know, he's a quiet guy. And I think those two things often dovetail, like the hype plays off the personality and vice versa. I think Endrick is probably somewhere in the middle, but I don't think he is that necessarily that kind of, yeah, come at me, show me what you've got, I'll take you all on attitude that Neymar and Vinicius have always had. So that will be interesting to see. I mean, not necessarily a bad thing. You know, players of that personality have always thrived. And I think he certainly doesn't seem to lack confidence in himself, just the way he carries himself, the way he does his kind of press duties off the pitch. You know, Nick spoke to him 2 years ago, and from what I've seen, it's only snowballed since then. He's done a lot of media work. He kind of, his team picks his opportunities very well. He speaks openly. He's kind of, he's been learning English, all the kind of classic things. So he's not, you know, a shy, shrinking violet by any means. But if things start badly in Madrid and you've got Marca and, you know, all the newspapers piling in within the first 6 months if he's not playing, yeah, it's at that point we need to remember that this is just a teenager and we should probably take our time with him.
Yeah, that brings me to this one, Thomas, really, especially in this Real Madrid squad. Do you think you need to show big personality to play for this team? And also it makes me think of the great Galacticos of the past versus what we're seeing now with a much younger squad. You know, Real Madrid used to buy much older back in the day. You talk about the Beckhams, the Carloses, you know, the Rauls, obviously he came through there, but the Zidanes and stuff. You're looking at more established players with big personalities and a sense of self. Do you think the model now at Madrid is a, I wouldn't say softer, but probably more formulated to help young players like him thrive if they haven't got that big personality?
Yeah, there's a tight-knit group of young players, and it's true that you'd say that players like Camavinga and Tchouaméni probably do have a slightly different personality than Bellingham, for instance. I think to really thrive, to really return to those Marca front covers and stuff, you probably do need that big personality like Bellingham. I don't think it's a bad thing from Madrid's point of view that he's railed against the referees as well. You know, they kind of all see themselves in him. Similarly with Vinicius, I think actually the bigger the personality, as long as you can back it up with your performances, Madrid fans do really like that. But ultimately, I do think it comes down to your performances as well, right? Like I think, as Jack says, if he has a brilliant start to his career, Madrid fans won't care if he's quiet or extroverted. It's just that does kind of tide you along. Even in these last couple of weeks when Bellingham perhaps hasn't been scoring as much as in the early parts of the season, it's not that he's playing badly, he's playing a slightly different role. But that does help because everyone remembers the celebrations, everyone remembers that amazing start. And along with that, everything that's endeared him to Madrid fans. So, I think perceptions count for a lot in Madrid. But he'll be very aware of that. He's from the same agency as Vinicius Jr. I think that will probably help as well because they'll presumably know what Vinicius's experience was like. And he just needs to know to take things slow, really.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is The Athletic FC Podcast with Ayo Akinwolere.
There was a piece I read recently around, you know, he's a black player coming to Spain, and we obviously know the stuff that's happened with Vinicius in Spain. Do you think his team are protecting him in that way? I'll go to you on this, Thomas. Do you think, you talk about him being with, I think it's Roc Nation, isn't it? Like, do you think they are enforcing him with the tools to be able to come into such a way into the spotlight of La Liga and be able to deal with such things?
Yeah, I mean, this Spain-Brazil friendly on Tuesday is a kind of anti-racism initiative in support of Vinicius. I think I'm sure Endrick will have seen. I think he was previously asked about it by our reporter Mario Cortegana, actually, about the racist abuse suffered by Vinicius. Clearly that's still a problem Spain are dealing with, and Vinicius himself at various points has felt let down by the club. I do think it's important that Madrid have all these young black talents together in one team. That's something I don't think we've previously seen really for Real Madrid, and it's maybe a contrast with even the Galacticos. So to see how that develops will be interesting. But I think Endrick will see Vinicius' experience, and hopefully Madrid will want to protect him just as much.
Yeah, Nick, can't help but look at his feet and see a pair of gold and black New Balance boots. And I always think about young players and their marketability. And, you know, you think about the huge space that's left in this Brazil squad with the Pelés gone and obviously the Romarios and obviously classic R9. How marketable is this young man? How is he looked at in Brazil in terms of, is he the next messiah of football? Are they throwing, you know, sponsorships at him already and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I can't remember what the products were, but he was already doing commercials before he had signed this senior contract with Palmeiras when he was 15, 16. I mean, as we've discussed, he's not necessarily the type of personality or even the type of player that you would kind of classically associate with those, you know, highly marketed Brazilian players. You know, someone like, I mean, Neymar's the classic example, who has become this kind of, it, less a footballer, more this kind of industrial complex of where he's got this kind of huge company that is run by his father, I think, back in Brazil, who essentially rely on him and his kind of commercial activities. So I suspect it won't be quite on that level, but if he does become Brazil's kind of next superstar number nine, then, you know, he may kind of reach, if not the same levels as Neymar, as kind of as similar. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that develops.
One thing that counts in his favour in terms of marketability is the fact that he has a really kind of broad fan base in Brazil. So he kind of unites fans of all different clubs at this stage in his career. That can change very quickly, we know, but, you know, fans of other São Paulo clubs, Flamengo. So there was a memorable moment when they played Flamengo last year when he went up to a Flamengo for supporting family in the crowd and they asked for a selfie, and a Flamengo fan handed him his baby so he could take a picture of him. So there's this kind of, and I suppose that largely comes from the fact that there is this expectation that he's going to be really special. So there's kind of a big movement behind him thinking, oh, this guy could be Brazil's next number nine. This guy could be really important for us. So that's part of it. But there's also just the way he plays, his kind of boyish enthusiasm. He's not someone who winds up opposition defenders, opposition fans. He hasn't got a kind of, there's no friction to his game in the way there was with, you know, to use the same examples again and again, Neymar and Vinicius Jr. both wound people up constantly with the way they played. And I think winding people up with the way you play then causes like a second wave of people to be annoyed at your kind of, the way you dress, the way you do your hair, your lifestyle, your jewelry, all of that. I think that is sparked by a confrontational style of play, which I adore. I mean, you know, I've got nothing against this at all. I think part of the dribbler's art is to, you know, it's a matador spirit. Endrick doesn't really play in that way. He's a little bit different. He's more lovable in a broad sense. And I think that will certainly make him, you know, if he can maintain that over the next 10 years, if he doesn't, you know, really annoy fans of a certain club before he leaves, that would definitely be in his favour. He's the whole of Brazil's darling at this stage, which you couldn't really say about some of his predecessors.
Yeah, and what about the link with Carlo Ancelotti? I know there's three Brazilian forwards potentially playing at Real Madrid right now, and obviously Ancelotti's been touted to be the Brazilian coach. Obviously, he's at Real Madrid at this moment in time. Could this be a sign of the future, Jack? Him playing under Ancelotti at Real Madrid, and then one day Ancelotti seamlessly ends up on the beach of Copacabana coaching the Brazilian team, living life out there. You know, could we see this?
Yeah, Jack? I mean, I tell you, at this stage, I think he would have to like offer the world's greatest apology, because they were waiting for him for the last year. They kind of came out of the World Cup, appointed a guy to kind of keep the seat warm for him. And the idea that he was going to take over in June, just before the Copa America. They set their stall out. They didn't announce him, but the president of the federation had publicly said, look, we're expecting Ancelotti to arrive. You know, a complete embarrassment for the Brazilian Federation, which has a complete embarrassment every 3 or 4 days, to be fair. But like, this was one of the worst ones since I've been following them. Just completely putting on pause any notion of progress, really. They've wasted a whole year waiting for Ancelotti. And Ancelotti, in the end, was under contract and decided to extend his contract. And, you know, Brazil are left 3 months out from a big tournament, having to kind of scrabble around. So I would think that the kind of Ancelotti to Brazil thing, even an organization as ridiculous as Brazil's federation, would probably not go back there. But obviously, yeah, clip that up and keep that on your file for when they appoint him in about 4 years' time.
But football is ever changeable. Nick, what do you think of this connection with Carlo Ancelotti? Because, of course, you know, at Milan, he was with Kaká, and we mentioned Pato as well. He's got experience with Brazilian players and currently coaching a couple at this moment in time at Real Madrid.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously such an international game these days. You wouldn't think that sort of thing would necessarily matter. But in the same way that he is being guided by the, you know, same advisors as Vinicius, the idea that he's now going to be coached by the guy who has guided Vinicius into being one of the, you know, one of the best players in the world will undoubtedly help. And, you know, Ancelotti doesn't have you were talking about combative players earlier on, he doesn't have a combative reputation as a manager, obviously. So he's likely to be the kind of arm around the shoulder manager for a very young player, and yeah, you would think in theory that would be exactly the kind of personality that would help a young Brazilian player playing on a new continent for the first time settle in and flourish.
It's a good point that Nick makes, because even Zidane, with all his success at Madrid towards the end of his time there, wasn't trusting in Vinicius as much. And, you know, arguably if he stays, Vinicius doesn't develop into this kind of killer in front of goal that he's become. I do think Madrid have trusted Ancelotti with this generation, as shown by that contract extension they gave him just before Christmas until 2026. There is something funny there of this kind of grizzled veteran in Ancelotti getting the best out of this young group of players who clearly all seem to love him. And I don't think that's necessarily always bound to happen at Madrid, having a content dressing room. We've seen other managers like Benitez, Mourinho ultimately lead to kind of division among those senior players. So to get the best out of this young group of players, Ancelotti seems to be making all the right noises, doing all the right things, giving people the playing time they want. Sometimes maybe not so much in case of players like Brahim Diaz, and still they seem to be happy. And I think that shows his kind of nous as a manager.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's end it there, gents. Thanks so much for your time. We'll be back again tomorrow for another podcast. Please don't forget to rate and review us as well. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Athletic FC podcast. The producers were Guy Clark, Mike Stavrou and Jay Beale. The executive producer was Amy Moorhead. To listen to other great Athletic podcasts for free, search for The Athletic on Apple, Spotify and all the usual places. The Athletic FC podcast is an Athletic Media Company production.
The Athletic.